Mark and Sherry Fincham are the founders of Indian Creek Productions, an educational nonprofit in Tennessee that specializes in Cherokee history. They spoke about Cherokee culture and the Trail of Tears at last month's History Tent Revival in-service for teachers here in Chattanooga. Mark, Sherry, thanks for joining us. Tell me more about Indian Creek Productions.
Well, we're a 501c3, and we focus on Native education and culture. We are able to put together different types of events. We're both teachers' background. I'm in educational administration now, but collectively we have 70
Well,
years
not quite 70, but about 66 or 67, yeah, just about 70 years together in teaching. So we do things with museums, we do things with historic sites, we do teacher workshops. Sometimes it's living history presentations, so we do a little bit of everything all over the place. Our biggest thing is our powwow that we do here in Jefferson City every August, the Spirit of Nations powwow that we do. We do the second Saturday of the month. It's a competition powwow, but its focus is education, so we try to include educational information with all the activities that we do.
Your background and your focus is on Cherokee culture, correct?
That's the primary focus. So when we do living history, that's what we do. But when it comes to trying to do educational activities, it's broad. We helped organize a tour to Alcatraz Island because that was once occupied in the early 1970s by a group of activists out there. So we've done that. We've done a little bit of everything.
When we say Cherokee culture and we mention the Trail of Tears, tell a little bit about that story.
Well, the Trail of Tears occurred between 1838 and 1839. There were more nations relocated than just the Cherokee people, but the Cherokee, of course, in the Tennessee, Western North Carolina area where our families are from, and we both have some Cherokee heritage, and so that's why we have focused upon that. But the nation currently has two distinctive areas, regions across the United States. Tahlequah, Oklahoma is the other end of the Trail of Tears. And then, of course, Cherokee, North Carolina is currently where the Eastern Cherokee people are known to reside. Cherokee are all throughout the area across Tennessee, North Carolina, Georgia. Those are the primary locations. There were even more states originally where the Cherokee people are known to have lived.
Now, Chattanooga, of course, has its big connection because one of the locations for the removal was through Ross's Landing, a ferry boat down there that was operated by originally by John Ross, who became the principal chief of the Cherokee prior to the removal period. So Chattanooga has more than its share of Cherokee history, but also Chattanooga otherwise, the Great Indian War Path comes through there from down around Bridgeport, Alabama, through the Reflection Riding Park and through downtown and on up through East Tennessee to Virginia and to Pennsylvania, different branches going in different directions. But that Great Indian War Path has been around since actually prehistoric animals and then made the trail to begin with, and then Native people, and then later on settlers moving in and Civil War soldiers, and now a lot of highways follow that. Like I said, it ran right through the middle of Chattanooga.
And how would you say the telling of that history has changed over the years that you two have been teaching and that you two have been running Indian Creek Productions?
Well, the history books typically will have a viewpoint from that of the development of the Americas. And so the perspective is what we like to focus on. Who's telling the story? So it depends on who's telling the story. When we tell the story, we tell it from the Native perspective. So the story of Andrew Jackson has a different look if we're telling the story. The whole overarching catalyst behind the removal probably has something to do with Dahlonega, the Cherokee word for yellow or gold. That would be perhaps one of the catalysts that, or we might even substitute the word greed for the origins of the removal.
And I would say from a teacher standpoint that it's gone downhill in that when I started teaching in middle school with seventh grade, we had an entire semester of Tennessee history, which of course included the early people, the pre-contact time period, the paleo and the archaic, the woodland, the Mississippian period, and came on up into Cherokee culture and included the Trail of Tears. Then many years ago, that was taken away, bits and pieces of it into third grade, fourth grade, fifth grade. And then that has since then faded in the most recent revitalization or the most recent revision of standards. So the amount of Cherokee history and culture has overall diminished. That's disappointing. I think it's important and shouldn't be overlooked.
There are some changes with this fall's social studies standards. There will be a full semester of Tennessee history for fifth graders, which will include some of that. But the changes throughout the elementary curriculum standards have removed several things related to Cherokee culture.
And there's now a Tennessee history class that is an optional class, an elective class that high schools are allowed to teach. But our high school isn't, and I don't know how many schools will take that on. I hope that that'll become common, but I don't want to get my hopes up that it will.
Given what you say has happened, is happening with the curriculum, where else can people turn to get that history?
Well, living history events, cultural events, even our powwow, because we're educationally focused, they can learn about the culture. Certainly the tent revival for teachers is a great way to learn about the Cherokee culture. Bill Carey has done a great job of including the Native American focus within the offerings that he's done, and we've been glad to be involved in that.
And of course, his website, TennesseeHistoryForKids.org, does have a lot of information.
And of course, North Carolina, Cherokee is doing a great job of preserving the history and the language. The immersion school there is something that the Cherokee Nation, the Tribal Council, is doing for its own people. And of course, there's always a field trip opportunity to visit Cherokee, North Carolina, the Sequoia Birthplace Museum in Vonore, Tennessee, are just a few nearby Fort Loudoun, just across the way from the Sequoia Birthplace Museum. They reenact the historical time period that included the Cherokee, and so families can learn through those different venues.
She mentioned about the language. I'm very happy to see that there's a revitalization underway. But the scary thing is, right now, the last number I heard, the number of fluent speakers in Cherokee, North Carolina, the number of fluent speakers left is down to 202. And so that's not a whole lot of people. So a lot of work has to be done still to keep that from disappearing.
What's something about Cherokee culture, about the Trail of Tears, that most people might not know that they should know?
I would say that one of the things that most people don't realize is that by the time the removal took place, the Cherokee, and as Sherry said a while ago, it wasn't just Cherokee. There were Choctaw, Chickasaw, Seminole, Creek, a lot of different groups besides the Cherokee. Cherokee just larger and more popularly known. But one of the things is the effort that a lot of Cherokee people put into becoming just like their white neighbors in many ways, becoming civilized to the definition that the European Americans, the Anglo-Americans had, and still had to be forced out. And by the time that they were forced out, many were educated, could read and write, and a lot of them had become Christian. I think that's the one thing most people are unaware of, that when you took this Trail of Tears and there was a burial along the way and a funeral service, it was often a Christian service, and oftentimes Amazing Grace was sung around the campfire at the funeral service. And if you go to the reservation today, there's more Southern Baptist churches than any other denomination. You don't hear much about that aspect of it, and I think that's probably because it's easier to talk about removing ignorant savages, not easy to talk about removing educated Christians.
Well, Mark, Sherry, thank you so much for your time, and all the best.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
You.